In 2016, I was new to the Indiana region, having been called to serve as pastor of a southern Indiana congregation within driving distance of my home in Louisville, Kentucky. Although I grew up in Indiana, Kentucky was the region I knew best and where I had the most experience as a Disciples of Christ member and minister. That October, I was eager to attend my first Indiana Regional Assembly in Indianapolis. While I admit I was also feeling a little apprehensive, since I would not be surrounded by the many familiar folks I was used to seeing at a regional assembly. But even though I was kind of a stranger in a strange land, folks I encountered were friendly, and the day was an extraordinary blessing. It was incredibly well planned, and I appreciated the efficiency in which the regional staff packed so much great stuff into one day, including lunch. One of the many meaningful highlights happened during the business meeting. Now, I know that may seem like an oxymoron. Meaningful highlight and business meeting are not two phrases that usually go together. But it was at that business meeting where Monique Crane-Spells brought a resolution to require clergy to participate in anti-racism, pro-reconciliation training, just as we are required to take boundaries training regularly. My heart leapt for joy that this region recognized the need for this. As person after person, both clergy and laity alike, of all races, stood at the microphone to speak in support of this resolution. And I admit, I was so touched that tears filled my eyes. You see, it's kind of embarrassing to admit, but when I was younger, as a student right here at Ball State University, I once thought that racism was simply a historical atrocity that ended with the civil rights movement. I naively thought that our country had truly moved on from this sinful time in our history, and that now we were all on level playing fields. Later, as I continued to mature and became a public school educator, and then a minister, and simply as a person who believes we should never stop learning or growing, I came to realize how foolish my younger self had been. Through hours of study, independent reading, and other learning experiences, I came to realize that racism is woven into the very fabric of our country. It is like the air we breathe, as one of my seminary professors often said. And importantly, I learned that racism is more than just individual acts by individual people. Racism is something that exists on a structural level, and it is built into the foundation of our institutions. I now know it is part of our call as followers of Christ to shine our light and to help dismantle racism wherever we can. While I continue to shake my head at the ignorance of my younger self, I too often have seen that lack of knowledge and awareness still reflected in too many folks of European descent who really do not grasp the disadvantages and disparities that continue to exist all these years later. And unfortunately, sometimes the uninformed and unaware are Christians and ministers whose seminary days are long behind them and who have not continued learning and growing once they graduated. So I was indeed overjoyed that disciples ministers would be required to take this training in order to keep their standing in Indiana. And I was hopeful that as more ministers participated in this training, they would then help their congregations also learn and grow in recognizing the need to stand up for racial justice. There can be no true reconciliation without our first recognizing and working to undo the continuing effects of racism. Almost 5 years after that historic Indiana Assembly, where the resolution was, by the way, unanimously passed, I attended the anti-racism pro-reconciliation training for the Indiana region, along with 3 members of this congregation, Winnie, Joanna, and Ann. All 3 of these leaders are on the new pastor search committee, and I hope you are as grateful as I am to them for giving of their time for this extra training, which was not required for them. Indiana was the first region to make this training a requirement, and now we are one of the first regions to specifically employ a regional staff member to coordinate the anti-racism pro-reconciliation ministry of the region. Candace Boyd Simpson is not a new face to the region, having very ably served as a ministry assistant for around 8 years. Candace is one of those people that lights up a room, and I personally was always so glad when our paths crossed. In her ministry assistant role, she is a huge help to the clergy of the region. And I am thrilled that she is now also serving as the anti-racism pro-reconciliation program coordinator. Whew, that's a long title. Candace lives in Indianapolis, and she is also an entrepreneur, a spouse, and a parent to a very precocious kindergartner. As we continue to celebrate the season of Epiphany and consider how we may both follow the light of Christ and shine our lights on Christ's behalf in a hurting world, knowing that we have Candace as a resource is truly a blessing for our congregation and region. I'm delighted that Candace agreed to share an encouraging message with us today, which she pre-recorded due to the pandemic. And now we will listen to her message on the screen.
Hello, friends. I'm Candace Boyd Simmons, and I bring you greetings of joy as the Reconciliation Program Coordinator for the Christian Church in Indiana. I am honored to share a message with you this morning. It is my hope and prayer that you'll glean something useful from this message. Pastor Pamela shared with me that as a congregation, you have been in celebration and recognition of Epiphany. To honor that, I'd like to share with you a message of shining the light. Matthew 5. Verses 14 through 16 state, "You are the light of the world. A city that set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine, so that before men they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." This time of year always reminds me just how transformative a birth can be. The birth of Jesus Christ was truly world-changing. Epiphany celebrates and honors the physical manifestation of God through Jesus Christ. It's a reminder that God came in person for us, for all of us, no matter the race, no matter the gender, the nationality, the sexual orientation, or your class in life. God came here in person for us. Thank you for that celebration of Epiphany. So in the framework of reconciliation and shining the light, I invite you to journey with me to the mission of our church, as found in Micah 6 and 8. Mankind, as he told you what is good, what the Lord requires of you, to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. In this world that is so fragmented, as disciples, we're called to do just what our mission says. We should live that out in our daily lives as much as possible. But our church is yet again facing times of many challenges: racism, poverty, an ongoing pandemic. There is a call to do more. And in today's world, we should look for the best ways to face these challenges in alignment and accordance with our Christian faith. In times like these, I cling to that scripture in life. So I see this shining of the light to be a call to action. Our church answered that call to action many years ago with the creation of the Reconciliation Ministry of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. This ministry was born out of the civil unrest that ensued following the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Our church stood firm and called out racism. We have called it to be a spiritual and theological dilemma, as well as a social evil. Our church has remained committed to tearing down the walls of that evil. We've remained steadfast to the belief that we will practice faithfulness with regard to the elimination of racism, which exists in all manifestations of the church. We discern that the presence of the nature of racism as sin, and we are determined to develop strategies to eradicate it and to work towards racial reconciliation. So what does loving mercy, shining the light, and doing justice look like? And what does it have to do with reconciliation ministry? Well, I'm glad you asked. In my work as the Reconciliation Program Coordinator, I'm called to share and do that mission of the Reconciliation Ministry. I often say, let's call a thing a thing. So my thing has become developing reconciliation education, training programs for our great region. I'm tasked to identify resources and tools for clergy to become reconciled and anti-racist. I connect with congregations like yours, those who are focused on justice and equity. Some congregations may not know where to start, but that is why I'm here. So how can a congregation like you get more involved and shine the light? For starters, you're doing it right now. Just the idea of wanting to dig deeper lets me know that your congregation is about the work of shining the light. It also means that we get out of our comfort zones. This work of shining our light could very well call you to act out the scriptures with your hands and feet. Let's call this justice and mercy in action. It may look like calling out the harm we see for others. It may be standing up for someone afraid to use their voice. It could mean attending a course on anti-racism and pro-reconciliation and bringing your knowledge back to your small group. It can be seeing the need and filling it. It may look like starting that book study on what being an anti-racist church looks like. But it can also be a reminder to care for those that the Bible calls the least of these. It's also a reminder to check the privileges we have at the door. After all, this is what Scripture tells us is required of us: to love mercy, to do justice, and cling to our God. Thank you for allowing me to share exactly what it is that I do with our region. I love working with congregations like yours to shine the light, to be a beacon of hope for others. If you'd like to reach out to me, please do so. My email and contact information are available from Pastor Pamela. Thank you, and blessings of your congregation today.